This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. The MFG Cast presents Human. Okay, welcome back, everybody. We are at season four. I cannot believe it myself, actually. I am very excited to get to another season of our core noir campaign. This one I'm going to be calling Human. Very simple. And my guess is you'll probably see why. So another thing that we usually like to do when we get into the next season of core noir is we like to kind of fast forward into the future. This one, we're going to be fast forwarding into the very near future. We're going to say probably about a week from our last session, basically, because things kind of happen on a Friday. Some other things kind of happened in between. There was some stuff on the weekend where our Curtis Abrams was arrested and charged with killing his father and probably a bunch of other different things with people in the building and stuff like that. George talking to Brian on Monday about some other things, and also George telling Clarice and Marcus about what had transpired, what he thought had transpired, and then things just kind of came out in the newspaper and on the radio. I was going to say TV, but TV has not quite been invented yet, so we're not quite there yet.
47? I think there's TV. Oh, is there TV? 47, probably, yeah. Right? Here, I can Google it real quick. Yeah,
God. I'm the worst when it comes to history. I should be better, but I've never been.
I mean, it's sort of in that time frame, right? Like, yeah, it's late 40s, something like that. In 1928, WRGB, then W2XCW, was started as the world's first television station.
Wow.
It broadcast from the General Electric facility in Schenectady, New York. It was known popularly as WGY Television.
Okay. So, yeah. So, for the rich people that can afford a TV back then, maybe they've seen it on the news. So, yeah. Like we had kind of talked about at the end of last season, George kind of helped solve the case, but his name wasn't plastered all over this like it had been in previous ones. But behind the scenes, Detective Spiranew and maybe Brian and maybe some other people in the police department probably know of what George has done. Possibly we know for sure Brian and Detective Spiranew, but who knows how wide that cast has been net or this how wide the net has been cast because of Spiranew not really wanting to tell everybody about George helping, because that could kind of ruin his case against Curtis. So yeah, the notoriety that you're used to is not quite there, but you know, in your heart of hearts that you've actually solved this case and, you know, helped put somebody away and hopefully kept him from doing something else that, you know, could have been more wrongdoings. Unfortunately, you had to tell a mother and a uncle that they're son/nephew bad egg, and that's always something that I'm sure is for anyone that has to tell bad news such as that, it's not great. So George, you actually get to have a few days to kind of wind down a little bit, kind of reflect, kind of get your business in order. Nothing really comes through the pipeline that's really pressing right now, so you get kind of your time to kind of, you know, do your own thing. So before we get into kind of our next season and stuff like that, let's just kind of talk about, like, you know, what would be an everyday thing that George would do now that he's not on these hot cases right now.
I think, you know, he's not you know, he's kind of keeping banker's hours to a certain extent, right? Like he, you know, probably heads in, you know, 8 o'clock-ish, you know, checks in with Janice, any, you know, any calls, anything going on, we miss anything. You know, he's catching up on, you know, especially for this past week, you know, he's probably catching up on paperwork. You know, if he's got bills to pay, you know, we need to pay the rent, you know, seeing if there's anything, like, I don't know, feel like, you know, most PIs would be waiting for someone to come in and hire them as opposed to like necessarily going out looking for work.
Yeah.
Right. Cause how do you, you know, how would you find
somebody hey, who's, hey, you a- on the street there, you know, anybody that's been killed or robbed or anything?
So he's, you know, I mean, there's nothing going on. He probably reads paper. He goes out for lunch. You know, he doesn't really have, like, if work is not coming to him, like, he's built up a little nest egg now. You know, so he's just sort of taking it easy. He's probably not been completely absent from the glow.
Yeah.
But he's probably more selective in the last, you know, in this past week.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he's probably tried to call Jane. You know, maybe they've chatted like a little bit. But yeah, he's just kind of, you know, kind of knocking around waiting for, you know, something to happen. You know, maybe, you know, he's probably had no cases, right? So he's, yeah, just sort of knocking around.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll kind of speak to the first thing. So like, yeah, when you go to the glow, like you do see Evie there and she performs, but as soon as she's done, it's like a, like, it's not her normal routine where she's, you know, she walks up there and she's very like seducing the crowd and getting everybody into it. Like that part is a whole thing. But as soon as she's done, it's almost like a armed forceman. Like as soon as they're done, like on her heel and back to the back. It's not like she doesn't like stay back to mingle and like she doesn't, you know, get, you know, she doesn't like schmooze with the crowd. And every once in a while, like you'll catch her eye or she'll catch yours. And then she like, you can tell she goes from like this sultry to all of a sudden just kind of like bitter. And she kind of like looks the other way kind of thing. Like it, the sting of what happened before is kind of still there. And she's not, it feels like she's not ready to confront you just yet.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. Things with Jane kind of warm up a little bit. Like you talk here and there. It's not for a long time, but it's like here and there, like, oh, you know, I got to work tonight. Got a long one, you know, but you know, I wrote this piece for Evie and she's going to debut it tonight. I'm really excited about it. You know, Mr. Stern's really excited to, you know, have me write another piece for them and stuff like that. Like it feels like her career, if you want to put that in quotations, is kind of picking up a little bit, but you know, it's like her and Mr. Stern are the only two that really know about it. And you, of course, they kind of let you in. As of now, it hasn't really reached anything else.
Well, so my question would be, does she write for Evie or does she write for herself? Because she has performed at the Glow. Jane has.
Yeah.
But I know that Evie did one of her songs too. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So are you trying to say, like, is it in her voice?
Well, no, that's an interesting question, considering. Yeah. But I'm so, like, I guess my question is, so she knows that, you know, Evie and I shared a kiss, or Evie kissed me, or whatever.
Yeah.
Would she write music for her?
Oh, I like that. I like,
right?
That.
So, like,
Yeah. I'm going to say she does. I'm going to say that she writes.
But she does. But it's music of what she's feeling between her and me. And then Evie has to sing it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a.
Which is super confusing for me.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, I wrote this song for Evie. And yeah. Then Evie sings it. And I'm like,
yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like one of those things where it's like, it's called like, I can't think of the right words to say, but it's almost called, it's called like Poison Dream or something like that. So it's like literally about about the kiss between you two. And then there's like this background character that is her, but like she calls it like, it almost sounds like to the listener, she's like talking to the listener, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, you know, like this poison kiss or whatever. And like, you know, I can't believe I'm here to see it, you know, and that kind of thing. And, you know, it wraps my head in, you know, knots and stuff like that. It's got like that kind of feel to it, you know? And even though it probably is awkward for Evie to sing, she sings it with like a panache. Like it's almost like she's testing like Jane to be like, yeah, write this for me. I'll sing it. I'll sing it damn well. You know,
you know what? I feel this too, bitch. What do you think about that?
Yeah, exactly. And then, and meanwhile, you're sitting in the background going, okay, whoa, what? Are you like, huh? He's, you know, like, I don't
like,
yeah. It's almost like you're hiding, like someone's going to figure you out. Like we know what you did, you know, and you're like, it was an accident, you know, that kind of thing.
I like that.
Yeah. And, yeah. So, you know, you talk to her every once in a while, things are going good. You, see her here and there. You don't really hang out yet. She's like, give me time. Eventually we can, you know, talk. And even though you don't see her that much, you've talked to her every day. Let's just say that.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't tried to like just drop in at her point. Like I wouldn't do that. Right.
Until she,
you know.
Yeah, exactly. And then just kind of out of the blue one day, she calls you up. Cause you basically talk to her and you're saying, yeah, I'm just kind of, you know, paying bills and, you know, re-upping on like building stuff and, you know, getting stuff checked out and blah, blah, blah. And, she's like, well, do you have anything on Friday? I hear there's this nice place on 42nd Street. We can go grab a bite.
No, I don't have anything going on. What time you think? You want me to pick you up for dinner?
Yeah, I think that would sound pretty marvelous. How about 7?
That sounds good.
All right. I'll see you there.
Look forward to seeing you.
You as well. She hangs up.
He looks at the phone for a minute and then, you know, slowly puts it back down in the cradle.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can tell that. Actually, roll me a, not awareness. What is that again? Insight?
Insight.
Yeah. Insight. Yeah, roll me an insight. I'm going to make it a nice, easy 3.
Two sixes and a 3. So it's going to be an 8.
Nice. So you can tell that she's warmed up to you, but she still wants to have a talk.
Mm. Okay.
And then so you can have the end. I will not. I don't have anything on my mind.
How about, I mean, Ned, this probably doesn't make sense, but, and you know, like, and they're not going to be interrupted. Right. So like, it's not like, oh shit, I can't make it now. Like, this thing came up on Friday that we made plans.
Yeah. Well, and you may think it's kind of ancillary, but we've played games enough to where sometimes we throw shit in the middle and things happen. So
yeah, that's fair.
Like that idea. I like that.
So like he thinks about it, you know, he just kind of kicks back in the chair, he lights a smoke and, you know, it's like, all right, well, this will be it, I guess.
You know, do you dress up? Do you casual, you know, what was your feeling as far as like how you're going to meet up with her?
It's 47, right? So like he's probably dressed in a suit already anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Like he would, I don't think he would necessarily freshen up after work, right? Because like he's not doing shit anyway.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, like he picks out a nicer tie. I mean, he's forever like rumpled.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not like dressed to the nines necessarily. But yeah, he might change his shirt so it's a little less like worn.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for the day.
Yeah.
You know, he's got his hat and all of his, you know, all of his accoutrement.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think he goes like completely out of his way.
Yeah.
I mean, do I know the place? Is it like a higher end place or?
Yeah, it's a kind of a higher end spot. It's called Mama's. It's got some good. They've got some good like steak dinners, but also like good like spaghetti and stuff like that. So yeah, maybe you pull out the old iron or whatever, you know, and give give a few things a little once over. It's not perfect, but you know, it gets a little smooth, you know, the thing kind of makes a pop, and you're like, man, I really need to clean this thing out. You know, I don't really use it enough, you know,
right.
that kind of thing. But you know, it cleans you up a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's still like, you could tell he did a bad job.
Yeah. It's just one he of tried. Things. Yeah, exactly. That's all we can ever do, John. We just got to try, right? Otherwise, what the hell are we doing here?
I think he probably brings like a single red rose.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. I think so.
Okay.
Right. Like as a peace offering kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, when you come, you knock on her door. She is dressed very nicely. She's hair's done up. She has a nice like green dress with a floral pattern on it. She actually has a little white flower that's in her ear, and you hand her the red rose, the single red rose, and she smells it and, you know, just kind of like, you know, gives, you know, kind of holds it a little close to her or whatever. And she really enjoys it. And yeah, you kind of head out the door.
Yeah. She opens up the door and like his eyes flick right up to the flower. And then he kind of like looks down and like, eh? And then when she takes it, he kind of like, you know, fusses with his coat and like pulls his tie up a little bit more. Cause you know, she's obviously much more well-dressed than he is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. She makes him look a little less so, even though she's not trying to be, just cause she's dressed so nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, she steps out and closes the door. He would, you know, like step up, you know, next to her and like put an arm around her waist, mm-hmm. to, you know, kind of test the waters, you know, or put his arm out for her to, you know, hook her arm in and, you know, walk down and go grab again. Unless it's close enough that we can walk. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just say she lives on like a certain floor or something like that. So you have to take a bit to get down to the floor level. Yeah. She accepts, you know, whatever you decide to do. It's nothing she's fighting against. You know, she's just very much just in force. She's got a great smile on her face. She thanks you for the rose or whatever. And yeah, you hop in the taxi and you're off.
Yep. You know, we'd make small talk on the way down. Hey, you look great. It's good to see you. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Looking forward to, you know, going out.
Yeah. 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 And she just same thing. She's just like, any new cases? And you're like, no. And she's like, oh, that's too bad. She's like, you probably need a little bit of rest anyway. You've had a few big months, that kind of thing, you know, or whatever. A few big days, actually, in our world. And, you get to Mama's. It's bustling. It's weird because it actually feels like it's, like, where the stars go, even though nobody there is recognizable, you know? Just these kind of, you know, people are dressed up very nicely. Everyone's having a good time. Let's just say there's like a nice little like jazz band playing in the corner. People are really, you know, jazzed to hear it, that kind of thing. The food is delicious. Yeah, it's just a great atmosphere, and it you get caught up in it.
Okay. Yeah. You know, they go. I assume at this point you'd probably still make a reservation, right? So he would have called to make a reservation.
Yeah.
You know, so they sit him down, he pulls out her chair, you know, blah, 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 the whole nine yards, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
They probably order drinks, and then, they're sitting at the table, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, so you're kind of talking, making small talk and stuff like that. And she's, and it takes her a little bit, but she wants to get down to business, but she also doesn't want to force anything as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, so, and she kind of like, looks off to the side a little bit, just kind of contemplating what she wants to say next. And she says, that little thing we had, it was a little rough patch.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that doesn't happen, but you know, things come up in relationships. You have to deal with. So, I want to make sure to give you your space. Make sure you're like, doing okay.
Yeah. And she's like, I appreciate that. She says, my previous relationships, it was hard for me to trust people because I'm always used to bad things kind of happening between me and loves of my life. But for some reason, for you, it seems different. I feel like that thing with you and Evie. It's like someone knocking their knee into like a door or bumping into like a coffee table or something like that. It's something that happened. You didn't necessarily want it to happen. It just happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it was a bad history there. The timing was bad. It was all bad, really.
And it's funny because I don't know Evie that well, but I don't understand, like, why did you guys even get married? She does not seem to like you that much.
Well, you know, I got drafted, it was going off to war, we'd been seeing each other and it was just one of those things. It's like, hey, let's get hitched. And, and then I was gone for like a year and a half. It's, takes a toll. And, I got wounded kind of bad. And, I spent some time in the hospital on the way back. And, I guess to her credit, she didn't leave while I was in the hospital. But, once I got back on my feet, she'd had enough. And, she took off. So it wasn't pleasant.
And she kind of shakes her head and kind of contemplates a little bit. And she says, yeah, she's like, it's interesting. You've fought a couple of wars, the real one, the big one, and the one with Evie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I kind of feel like she took the job over at the Glow just to be around as a reminder.
And she kind of like, she shakes her head a little bit and she says, yeah, she says, I know a lot of people that see things like that and they think, yeah, I could easily just run to the next state. I could just, ignore it. But, I like to face my demons head on because it doesn't matter what you do. They're still going to be there, whether you defeat them or not. So I actually give you credit for not running away from them.
It's not really my style, I guess. It's, you do what you do. You know what I mean? It's, I don't know. It felt like things had never been fully resolved until New Year's. And then things started to take on a different light.
And she kind of smiles a little bit and tries to hide it kind of thing, but you don't really, she doesn't really do so. And she says, well, she says, I don't want to be another war you have to fight. I want to be something that you can enjoy, that we can enjoy each other together.
I'd like that.
And she, yeah, had a little bit of wine with your dinner or whatever. And she kind of says, or she picks up her glass and kind of heads it in your direction. She says, to new horizon.
He tinks her glass and says, and new beginnings.
That's the first thing I was thinking of. So I'm kind of glad you went with that. That's perfect. You have a few drinks. You don't get too super tipsy, but just enough to have fun. And you're enjoying your meal. And
she's, here it comes.
What's that?
Here it comes.
No. And she says, she kind of looks at you or whatever, and she gives you a wry smile. She says, let's get out of here.
Sounds good to me.
So yeah, you head on the street. It's October. So it's a little more chilly. There's a little bit of a drizzle of a rain, but nothing too bad.
He takes off his coat and puts it on her probably. Like if it was nicer earlier and then it got cool, right? Yeah. She's in a dress, then he, takes off his coat and
yeah, for sure. And you sit there and you yell taxi, and takes a little bit because it's kind of a busier night, that kind of thing. And one of the taxis pulls up, but it pulls a little bit further down than you're wanting. You're like, okay, well, we have to walk a little bit just to get to it or whatever, And you go to the car or go to the taxi. You open it up for Jane, and I don't know if you like are like after you or whatever, that kind of thing.
Yeah, he would open up the door. I don't know that he would say anything necessarily, but he would open up the door and let her slide in first.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So she, goes to get in, and you feel a very hard thump in the back of your head.
Mm.
And as you kind of feel yourself weightlessly start to fall towards the ground, and you hear Jane kind of give like a like she's going to yell, but it's very like abrupt because it's like, yep. And then you fall to the ground and your world goes black.
I don't get an awareness check, huh?
You know, no awareness this time. No awareness this time.
So I assume it's like he opens up the door and she like turns to sit, right? Because she's wearing a dress. And like as she sort of turns to sit and then slide over, she sees the person coming from over my shoulder. That's that like partial yell. And like maybe he starts to turn. He cracks me on the side of the face.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. You
know, back of the head side of the face. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Let's let the dice decide what happens.
Okay.
So, yeah. So you black out and you don't dream anything. Nothing swirls in your head. You don't have any nightmares or any weird things or whatever. But all of a sudden you feel like in the back of your head, you feel like you hear like the rushing of cars. You feel the tap, tap, tap of raindrops. Not very big, but just like... And you hear kind of the hustle and bustle of a city in the back of your head. And then you stir awake and you roll me. I think I actually want you to roll me an awareness check. This time I'm going to have it be a 5.
Okay. Ooh, it's going to be a 7.
Nice.
6 on the die plus 1.
Okay. You realize that you are handcuffed in the back of a car, in the back seat of a car. You're on the back right. To the left of you is a what you perceive to be passed out Jane, also handcuffed in the back, slumped and kind of laying against the side.
Okay.
In the front seat of this car that you're traveling in, you see a one Ace Johnson driving.
This motherfucker. Okay, I need a minute to process.
Yeah,
that.
Yep. It's all you, buddy.
I want to say that my end is he doesn't realize that I'm conscious yet.
Okay.
Right. So like there's the wheels on pavement, the rain, occasional honk or whatever, right? Like I'm sort of conscious of that stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
And then I kind of like, and then like my eyes come open and I see him through the seats, his big fucking square jaw, and he's focused on the road. And then I don't move, but move my eyes to the left, and I see Jane sitting there, and he doesn't realize it. So what I want to do is see what kind of information that I can gather, right? Like, is anybody in the other front seat? I assume not, because he's on the run now. Do I see any street signs? Do I know what, direction we're heading? Do I see anything that looks familiar? Oh, there's the Empire State Building. So we're on, such and such and such and such or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an awareness check.
I don't think it would be an investigation check, just because even though you have kind of the upper hand right now, I think you're still kind of, one of the other things I will tell you as far as what happened is like you have a nasty gash in the back of your head. You assume that he took the butt of his gun and just smashed it in the back of your head. So you're not bleeding profusely, but you can feel some warm blood kind of coming through the back of your head.
Yeah. 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 I might be concussed. Like I'm at a disadvantage, but
yeah. So I'm going to put those things at kind of even level then, because of, he doesn't know you're there yet or awake yet. And your head wound, I'll put those kind of at a level thing. So I'll make that a 4 for your DL and for your awareness check.
Yep. And I don't know if it's a roll, right? Like I'm familiar. Well, I guess it's, do I see something, right? Like that's the,
yes,
I'm familiar with New York, but like, I also have my head back on the thing and I'm kind of looking, trying to move my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Damn, these dice. 6, awareness 7.
7. Okay. So you notice a few things. You notice the first thing that you notice, which again, you're looking for advantages for things, but I think the first thing that you notice that is a good telltale sign is that you can see that Jane is breathing and it doesn't look like she has any marks on her, like she has been hurt.
Okay.
You look in the passenger seat and you see that no one is there. You see Ace driving, and he's not driving like someone that's on the run. He should be driving like a little less erratic because of, you know, maybe if you know, one of the cops picks up that he's driving crazy, and then they'll, you know, try to pull him over, or, you know, have a high speed chase. But he is in and out of traffic, just vroom, vroom, you know, you can like your body's jostled a little bit. You kind of like bump your head a little bit. You're like, oh, you know, and then, you know, Jane's body kind of slumps a little bit, and you're like, oh, I hope she doesn't like fall into the floor of the car and stuff like that. And he looks like he is at his wit's end. As far as where you think you're going, you feel like he is actually driving you like towards your place, like either towards your place or your building or like somewhere around where you live, because it feels, everything seems very, very familiar. And you're like, I don't understand what he thinks he has planned.
Right. Oh, yeah, I kind of want to use the end as like, he didn't put the cuff on right, but I feel like he would have put the cuff on.
Right. Yeah. He is an FBI agent.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have anything. I can't think of it. I can't think of anything related.
Yeah.
And I can't think of anything that would be unrelated that would be like worthwhile, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, How about this?
Yeah.
The end is I'm not actually concussed.
Yeah.
Right? Like my head hurts. I have a headache because I got cracked in the head.
Yeah.
But like I'm not at a like a mental disadvantage.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Hit in the head.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, you've already had your concussion in the first season. So like, you're kind of like, you do this thing where you're like, you kind of mentally check some things and you're like, okay, I think I might be all right. You know, it's just a bad bump and I'm probably need. Yeah. It's, yeah, exactly. You're like, where do I live? This is where I live. What's my mom's name? Yeah. And you're like, well, I'm probably going to have a few stitches if I get out of this, but
right.
You know, other than that, I seem to have, you know, a lot of my faculty.
I don't know what's the best thing in this situation, right? To be like, hey, dickhead, why are we going to my house?
Mm-hmm.
Or to play, you know, to maintain the ruse that I'm unconscious. But like, if, are my hands handcuffed in front or behind me?
Good question. Oh, it sucks because I'm one of two ways. I'm like, it would be a good story for it to be in front of you, but also like, why would he do that?
That's kind of where I'm at too.
Yeah. So it's like, it's one of those things like, should I let you have this or should I go with what's real in the story?
It makes sense that he would have probably both of us with handcuffs behind us. Behind right. You. I mean, that makes sense. Okay.
You know what? I'm going to give you a good and, this might be cheating. I don't give a fuck. Anyway, I'm going to say that you have your own pair of handcuffs that you use every once in a while. And for some reason, you forgot to take the key out of your pocket.
All right. I'll take that, but that seems pretty cheap.
Yeah, it is. It is cheap. And that's okay. I'm fine with it. You know what? I'm going to say this. I'm going to say you don't remember leaving your keys in there. You're like, why are these here?
Hmm. Okay. All right. I don't want to say that, but that's fine. use your imagination. Can I make a... I shouldn't ask for rolls. Can I make a stealth roll to see if I can surreptitiously pull? Well, but I wouldn't know that it was in there then.
Well, maybe because of your awareness check, you're like kind of like assessing the situation. You kind of move a little bit and you're like, wait a minute. These
what the hell are is keys. That?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like, wait a minute. And you're like, how the fuck did those get in my pocket?
Okay. Yeah. So can I make a stealth check to surreptitiously, you know, get my hand in my pocket? And, you know, get the cuffs undone.
For sure. Sure, for sure. And he's pretty distracted, but I still am going to make this pretty hard because of, A, you've got your hands handcuffed behind you. You're also hurt. So I'm going to make this a 7. I'm going to make it pretty damn hard.
Okay. Well, I've had a couple of 6s so far.
Yeah,
so
I was going to say, you've been hitting some good rolls here.
And there's two 6s and a 2.
Look at that.
So that is a seven. So that's going to be a yes, yes, but though,
yes,
right?
Yes, but. Yes. Okay. Yep. So you start going into your pocket and you're kind of trying to get all the keys and stuff like that. And you actually do get your keys in your hand. And as they're still in your pocket, you hear a voice go, "Oh, you're finally awake."
He knows the jig is up and he doesn't want him to know that anything is going on. And he just, you know, kind of like rolls his neck and like doesn't like sit forward, right? Because he doesn't want to be threatening necessarily. He's like, "Yeah, well, Johnson?" Right? He's like playing it off.
Yeah.
Like, "Oh, shit. Like, wow, I didn't expect that."
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's basically what he says. He's like, "Oh, didn't expect to see me again, did you?"
No, actually, I didn't. What's going on? You know, and he kind of like chink, chink, chink. I still have my cuffs on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like one of these, you know, like rocking his shoulders, like, "Hey, what gives?"
Yeah, yeah. He's like, "You know what? Frank never told me that things were going to get like this, but you know what? I'm going to show him. I'm going to deliver his gold. I'm going to deliver." I'm so excited for this character. I can't even say things. Frank never told me things were going to be like this, but you know what? I'm going to bring him DeLuca's golden boy, his man in his pocket.
Are you still on about that? I told you, I don't know anything about that guy.
Oh, you keep saying that, but I got the pictures. I've got the audio to prove it.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about. Who the hell is Frank?
Who's Frank? you're precious. You're precious. Oh, I tell you, you've worked with his kids. You know who he is.
Can I make a brain? Like, I, as a player, I'm not. Is it? It's Frank DeLuca, right?
No, it's Frank Biotti.
Oh, Frank Biotti. Okay.
And, well, it's Antonio DeLuca.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So you know from what he's just been telling you is that Ace Johnson has been working with Biotti.
Okay. I don't know. That maybe should have been a brains check. I don't know.
That's okay. I feel like at this point, I feel like George would know this.
All right. I guess so. Wait,
what other Frank would he be talking about?
Maybe his dead partner. I don't know. I don't know how I would respond to that. I think he says, well, see, she's unconscious, so that's not great either. He says, "Look, I don't know what you're on about. Look, she doesn't have anything to do with this. Leave her my apartment. Don't involve her in any of this. You want a piece of me? Whatever. It's fine. But she's got nothing to do with this."
And he kind of laughs. He's like, "You're hilarious. You're a comedian. You're a comedian, this guy. Oh my God. Such a comedian." You know what? It's funny because, you know, for a PI, you can just about do anything. You know, you can kind of go anywhere. You can kind of do anything. You're not quite a cop, but you're like, you can kind of squeeze your way into places, you know, and then the places that you go, for some reason, people start to disappear left and right. "Oh, and I don't know what happened." "Yeah, sure you don't."
Look, I don't know what your boss has been telling you, but I feel like I'm being played as a patsy here. Look, let her go. You know, you have roughed me up, whatever. It's fine. Just you let her go.
"Oh, that's not up to me. I'm bringing you two in to Mr. Biotti, and he can figure out what to do with you. And then I'm all in the clear."
I don't think he says anything. I don't think he responds. Like, he's obviously not going to get anywhere with him.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not he actually thinks that I did something, or which I feel like he does. Can I insight that? Like, well, I felt like I made an insight on him before, right?
Probably.
Like, I'm pretty sure that he believes what he's saying. Like, he's not fucking with me. Like, he is on whatever his thing is, and like he's pretty sure that that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I won't have you roll for it. He believes 100% that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like that's yeah,
yeah.
And is he like driving and looking and driving and looking? Really can't help himself but like turn around and rub it in, kind of thing.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
Yeah, I don't think I say anything. I'm just not sure. Yeah, I just don't say anything.
Okay,
And then see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. So then, you know, he kind of thinks about it a little bit, and he's like, "You know what? I have an even better idea. You know what? I don't have to deliver anyone alive. I mean, really. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. All I have to do is deliver you, and that's all I need. My name is cleared. I'm back in the clear. You know what? I think I'm going to take you back to your place. Maybe, you know, maybe a nice little, I don't know, on a little accident happens, you know, maybe something happens to her. You get a little distraught, you know, you kind of, life isn't worth living anymore. You take yourself out. And then I don't have to worry about cleaning up any messes or anything like that.
He like grits his teeth. You know, you can see like his jaw muscles clench or whatever. He's like, I'm not sure you want to do something like that. Your boss is, maybe he's going to get real pissed off. You don't deliver what you're supposed to.
Oh, believe me. He's going to be happy when I deliver the big fish. He's not going to care one iota about the details.
Okay. I don't say anything, but I wait for him to like turn back and like pay attention to the road. And I want to undo my cuffs.
Okay. Sounds good.
Or attempt to undo my cuffs.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you do so. He's kind of talking to himself. He's like, yeah, that's the ticket. You know, that's the way to go kind of thing.
Okay. So we're in the city, right? So the speed limit can't be super high.
No, it's, let's say like you're not like it deep in the city, but maybe just outside of it kind of thing where it's like, let's just say it's like 40, 45 or something like that. So it's still not great. Like if you wanted to do something like super spectacular, it wouldn't be too great, but you know, maybe you could do something to kind of throw them off.
I think maybe I wait till we get closer to my place then.
Okay.
Right. Like I don't want to be in an accident at 45.
Yeah.
like maybe we're on the loop around, you know, maybe the place was like, you know, I'm not familiar with New York. So 42nd, I feel like it's probably downtown, but maybe it's like on the edge of downtown where like, you could get like a bypass loop, like if you're like in Washington, right? Like take the loop to go around to get to another part of Washington sort of thing. So like maybe we're on that kind of road and he's coming back around.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
So what I probably do then is I take the cuff off the left and then I ball the other one up in my fist.
Yeah.
I still have both my arms behind me. And I'm just waiting for the opportune moment to sucker punch the fuck out of him. once we get like into the neighborhood, right? Yeah, so like maybe we're doing like 35, 30, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And just I'm a whale right on the back part of his head here.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I don't, maybe does it make sense to wait until he like opens a door and tries to pull me out?
That's up to you.
I don't know if he would notice though, right? Because he would probably grab me like under the shoulder and the other arm is necessarily gonna come away.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough. I mean, action movie logic, I probably punch him in the head, right?
Yeah.
And let the chips fall where they may. My concern is more for Jane, right? Because then I would be the only one ready for it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe instead, shit, I'm really torn between the two because I feel like I could scooch around. So like when he opens the door, I could fucking kick it.
Yeah.
And then jump out. Right. Assuming like, you know, I hit him with the door or whatever, like even if it doesn't hurt him.
Yeah.
Cause I don't want her to get hurt, but I don't know. Like if I did that, then he might get out on, you know, like get on her side. Like, oh, what are you doing over there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just punched him in the head. We did it. We got there.
You did it. All right. I'm going to have you roll another boy. Now.
I could give you my opinion. You could take it or leave it.
Yeah, I will take your opinion.
Okay. In my estimation, if I was running it.
Yes.
He's doing something else. He's paying attention to driving.
Yeah.
I very slowly pull this arm out. So it's cocked right here. And then in, you know, the frame is I just, you know, launch myself from the seat through the two seats right into the back of his head.
Okay. Yeah. I like it. No, I like it. Cause I was thinking about the whole action frame thing and I was like, yeah, that's perfect. Cause he's technically doing something else. He's still kind of formulating a plan and he's still driving. So he's probably not going to be able to see it coming.
That would be my thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Screw it.
Right. Because it's like a surprise round.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like a generic fantasy style of game.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, let's just say you clock him and it kind of.
Well, so let me roll, right? Because there's a chance that I roll three ones, right? I mean.
Oh, true.
I mean, potentially, because I think I actually have fighting, right? But I could theoretically roll a two, yeah. Which would be a yes, but.
Yeah, true. Yeah, let's do that. Let's let the dice decide if your sneak attack is wholly successful.
So I would argue for this then, the surprise or like positional advantage or whatever would be an additional plus one. I'm assuming I'm not going to roll three ones, right? So like, I don't know that it's really going to make a difference.
Yeah.
Maybe. I hope.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, sure. Sure.
Okay.
Go for it.
There's a six, a five, and a four. So that is going to be an eight then.
Wow. Holy crap. Okay. So I'm going to say it's going to take a dice out of two stats. So I'm going to say that you clock him and it kind of throws him for a loop. So like it takes a die out of brains.
Yeah, definitely brains, because I punched him in the head.
For sure. And then it kind of discombobulates him. So I think it's going to also take a dice out of grace.
Okay. Again, I think you're being overly generous.
Yeah.
I was thinking to do 2 points of damage right with the end, because yeah. I feel it gives me a better advantage than moving forward.
Yeah.
But I was also thinking to use the end so that like if he indeed crashes the car, that Jane doesn't get hurt.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm willing to give up the extra point to ensure that, like, you know, if he then jerks the wheel and like hits a parked car, hits a tree, or hits a telephone, whatever, that, you know, she's down far enough that like maybe she slumps forward, but like she doesn't get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yep. I like that. I'll keep that. So I think in this next frame, I think what's going to happen is he's going to try to right the car from smashing into something else.
Okay. So he's still doing something else?
He technically is still doing something else. Yes.
Then I will. God, I feel like I just want to punch him. I really just want to punch him a lot.
I don't doubt it.
Because I think it'll be easier than like trying to like get the cuffs around him and choke him. Right. Yeah. If my handcuffs had been handed in front of me, then that would have been a viable strategy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't know how this would work then, right? This is where I get bad with Core. So he's going to drive the car. So he's doing something else. I kind of feel, well, because no, it doesn't matter, right? Because his role then would be the defensive role.
Yeah.
Right? I kind of feel like I want to go for the gun and presumably he has a shoulder holster, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but it would probably be on his left side if he's right-handed, though. And is he left-handed? He is right-handed.
He is right-handed, yes.
Okay, so it would be on the other side. I punch him again.
Okay.
Because I would have to get completely over him
for sure.
Get over there.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, go ahead and roll for that.
Another six, although the other dice were a two and a three.
Nice.
So here's my question then.
Yeah.
I think it's just a two because he's not actively actively defending himself? I don't
because right now he's trying to right the car. So he isn't technically defending himself. He's trying to get this car to stay stable so it doesn't spin out of control.
Okay. Then I think I just took 2 points of damage to his head.
Okay. Sounds good. He rolled two ones for his driving.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So the car, because of the wet roads, it kind of does this 360 and it hits one of the cars, but then he continues to kind of keep it going. But then as he's going into the intersection, another car comes and clips your car. Okay. All the meanwhile, let me redo this. So the car kind of spins 360, hits a car. He's trying to get it to right the ship. You punch him square in the head again, and he just kind of wobbles a little bit. And he's like trying to right the ship, and the car LeCar kind of, it, you know, he just kind of is still on the gas and instead of the brake, because he's just still trying to get things going. And he pulls out into the intersection and you are T-boned by another car and your car is flipped.
Oh, that sounds like a bad deal.
Yes. Okay. So now we're going to be, unfortunately, we're back out of action frames.
So then is it a grace roll to like attempt to brace, or is it like a health roll to see whether or not I, you know, would take damage? Like, she's unconscious, so like she should be fine. Like, drunks usually don't kill themselves when they hit people because they're drunk. So they're, you know, not that, you know, they don't tense up because.
Well, the thing is, though, is that the impact was from her side.
But that's also his side, right? I mean,
no, technically you're on the right side in the back. She's on the left side of the back. You were driving going this way. Like, say, like, okay.
So the car gets hit on the left side, but he's also on the left front. She's in the left rear.
No, she's in the left rear. You're in the right rear.
So am I getting hit then?
No, the car is hitting her side.
I know, but here's the car, right? Here's me. Here's her. Yep. Here's him. That's where the driver's side.
Yep.
She's on the driver's side.
Yep. Yep. And the car is coming, like, she's here. The car is coming at her.
Okay. So it hits in her door.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. So that.
Right. Cause they're both on the same side.
Yeah. It's coming at, it isn't.
It's coming towards her.
Coming towards her. Yes.
Okay.
The car flips multiple times. Boy, I don't know how to have you roll for this, just because you are going to be in a very, trying to think of the word, you're in a very not in control situation here.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm going to have you roll a health roll, because do I have you do that? Boy, this all in my head was very different from what's happening. So it's hard to kind of come up with what I think might happen.
So I could see it either way. It could be a health roll to see if you can sort of resist the damage.
Yeah.
Kind of, right? And that's probably a high roll because you're being hit by another vehicle, right?
Yeah.
Or a grace roll to, like, I mean, you can't really brace in a car accident, right? No. Like, it's probably worse for you.
Well, especially like there were no seatbelts back then. So, like, technically there's the only thing to hold on to would be the seat, and that even then it's like and it's like you're also not, you know, seeing the car coming, probably because you're trying to smack Ace's face and mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. So
yeah
I will let you decide if you want to roll for health, if you want to roll for grace. Just tell me how you want to role play that out as best as you can, and then we'll kind of go from there.
I feel like health makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I feel like that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess at a DL, it's got to be four or higher, right? I mean, again, you're bouncing around in the car.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Pass or fit, right? So like pass, there's no damage. Fail is how much damage, right? Like that's the...
Yeah.
That's it. So I guess if it's a no, it's maybe a point. It's a no end, it's 2 points.
Yeah, probably.
Does that feel right?
I think it feels right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because all of my stats are 3. So like 2 points in anything is, unless we break them up, right? Like,
yeah,
maybe, you know, you twist a shoulder or you'd sprain a wrist because you're bouncing around or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other one could be brains because you hit your head. My head, you know, I already got hit in the head. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and this one's going to be really, again, really high because of the situation that you're in. So it's going to be an 8.
I can't get any better than a no end. There's really nothing you can add to a health roll, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's not anything I could add to that.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, unless you make it a 6, right? Then I could potentially tie the roll.
Yeah, you could. God. This sucks because like literally I'm like, I don't want to give you too low of a roll, but I also don't want to give you too high of a roll.
Right.
I feel like either way I'm losing this fight. So it's just kind of like, what do I do? Okay. I'll make it a six just story wise because we got to do what we got to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it either. You know, it's 2 points with a no end and an XP.
Yeah.
Or if you make it a six and if I roll something other than a six, it's still damage and maybe even still 2 points. So like it's.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a car accident, right? Yes. Like it is, you know, even if he hits us at 30 or 35, you're still in an accident.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to say that. Yeah. Let's have the dice decide. You roll on a six. It would be easy to just give you the 2 points of damage and call it good, but let's get some mechanics in here. Let's get some story in here.
Two sixes and a one.
Nice.
So that's a yes, but. So okay. Yes, I passed the roll, but.
Okay.
I mean, I'm fine if you want to say the buts to damage, because I feel like that probably makes sense. But we are in a car accident.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like you're not gonna get completely mangled, but you are gonna get pretty seriously hurt.
Do we want to make that a brains then? Since I already and actually did I take damage when he hit me? Or is this more of a plot device?
Yeah, I think for this, I think it would definitely be damage because he was definitely not there to just knock you out. He was definitely like, well, fuck this guy, whop, you know, that kind of thing, you know.
All right, so what do you think for the damage for the accident? Then does grace make sense? Does might make health even?
Yeah,
I mean any of those things. It was a health roll, but that doesn't necessarily matter.
Yeah, yeah. Let's make it health. I like that idea.
You're getting bruised. You're getting all banged up. You're getting abraded and cut with glass or whatever.
Yeah, let's just say like the car is rolling and that initial first roll you're like your like right side like just smashes into the door and it like the door handle or the door the not door handle but whatever you not the thing you grab to open the door but like the handle or whatever you kind of smash your ribs into it and you kind of hear kind of a thick kind of thud and you're like I probably cracked a rib there, you know, that kind of thing, but that's the least of your worries as the car kind of rolls kind of just rolls. Probably you don't realize it's probably about 4 or 5 times and it comes to a stop and you are upside down.
Okay. I'm assuming Johnson's still in the front part of the car.
I want you to roll me an awareness check.
Okay.
I'm gonna have that be a six.
Oh, and that's where they finally let me down. 1, 2, 3. So I got a four. So that's a no end.
Okay. So you're like, your brain is kind of getting the best of you right now. You're like, oh, I think I cracked a couple of ribs. You're looking at Jane, and you're like, Jane's not moving, and you're like, what's happened to Jane? You're trying to concentrate as much as you can. You can't tell if she's breathing or not. So you're kind of freaking out. You're kind of hyperventilating a little bit. It's still kind of raining a little bit. You're upside down. Well, you're not upside down. The car is upside down. So you're kind of discombobulated. So you can't really tell what's going on. You feel like you see that Ace is there, but you can't tell if he's awake or if he's dead or if he's injured. You're just kind of in a almost a flight mode.
I check her pulse, right? I'm hesitant to move her,
mm-hmm.
right? Because she was in an accident. But I check her pulse first, assuming she's breathing. I'll give a quick visual. Do I see any bones sticking out? Is her arm at an angle that it shouldn't be at? You know, is it her? You know, like. Physically, how does she look? And if that's okay, then I would remove the handcuffs.
Okay.
And then I take my other cuff off as well.
Okay. Roll me a... Let's do a brains roll. Because you're still kind of discombobulated, I'm having you roll it just to see how fast you kind of do things. I'm going to have a DL of 5.
Pair sixes.
Okay. Good deal. So that is a... Yeah.
Just a yes.
Just yes. Okay.
Beat the deal by one.
For sure. Okay. Yep. So you check her out. She does have some bruising, like the left side of her face is kind of bruised a little bit. You see like the right, what her right wrist, you probably think it's broken. It's kind of like in this weird kind of spot, and you kind of, you know, lightly take off the, you lightly take off the handcuffs, and you check her pulse, and you can tell that she is breathing. It's a little erratic, but nothing that is alarming at the moment.
Yeah, not life threatening. So she's not severely bleeding. I'm sure we're probably all bleeding a little bit, I guess, right?
Yeah,
me probably more so now. And once she's square again, I look up to the front to see what shape he's in. I'm not going to help him.
Yeah,
but you know,
yeah.
If he's not moving, I'd probably also check his pulse.
Okay. Yeah. So you actually see him. He's actually trying to get out of the front seat.
I kind of want to hit him again, but there's probably a crowd of people now.
Well, right? technically, you like the car is still upside down. You're not out yet. You were just, you know, doing your stuff. And you're basically, you would both have to like slide. There's no like, oh, I'm just going to get out very easily.
Yeah, no,
here.
No, it's no,
like,
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
If we can even get out, because the doors on that side are probably crushed and inoperable because the frame is bent.
Yeah.
And we're all of us are on the hood on the inside.
Yes.
But the guy that hit us is probably there. Mm-hmm. And then people probably ran out from, you know, apartments, whatever. So like there's a crowd. Like I don't want to beat him up in front of people now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seems like a bad deal. Boy, that's what I want to do.
roll me another an awareness check.
Okay.
This time I'm going to make it low 3.
Okay. And I'm assuming it's active, right?
Yes, correct.
Yep. 4.
Cool. If you wanted to get out on your side, the glass is shattered. Actually, the glass is shattered on every single door.
Yeah.
As well as his. So technically, if you wanted to, you could crawl out if you wanted to.
I was kind of thinking to try to open my door and drag her out.
Yeah.
That's kind of where my head was going.
Yeah. And he, like I said, he is still attempting to get out of his side.
Okay. I think I do that.
Okay. You're going to try to grab her, open the door and grab her out of it.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Roll me a might check. Oh, this is something we haven't had in a very long time. Okay. I'm going to have this be a 6 because you have some cracked ribs.
All right.
As well as other things.
Yeah.
But you can also add something too, is if you have something that would be good in this situation.
I don't have athletics or anything. I mean, I have fighting.
But I don't. That's really going to work.
Yeah. I don't know that's necessarily applicable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What am I trying to beat?
A 6?
Yeah. Highest is a 5. So that's a no but?
No but. Okay. So let's say that...
and I was trying to open the door.
Yeah.
So maybe I don't get the door
open. You don't get the door open, but you could get through the window and grab her and get her through the window.
Okay.
But you're going to have to be very gentle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Totally okay. Do that.
Okay. Roll me another might check because I want you to... Well, actually, no. I'm going to have you roll a grace this time because I want you to try to get her out without hurting you or herself trying to get out through the window.
Okay. What's...
DL of 5.
Okay.
Make it a little less hard.
So I rolled 3 5s.
Oh, wow.
So which is a yes, no, but. Or
no, but.
No. Wait. I matched it. So it's a yes.
Yes, but.
But something bad happens.
Okay. So, so you do get, you get yourself out and you are getting her out. And you realize that when you look back as you're getting her out, that ace is out.
Okay.
But before you can get up to check what's happening, you hear a 2 gunshot and you hear a body slumped to the ground.
I don't stand up.
Before you think of the next thing to do, you hear another and you hear the crowd disperse and start screaming.
Yeah. As soon as he gets hit, I guess, or assuming Ace gets it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, everybody starts running around. Mm-hmm. I think he's so we're both out. We're behind the, like, he got out on, did we get out on the same side?
No, let's say you got out like
on
the
my
car,
side.
You got out on your side, the right side. He got out on the passenger side. Yep.
Okay.
And you, yeah, you,
okay.
You couldn't see what was happening. You just heard what was happening.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think he's sitting on the ground against the car.
Yep.
He's cradling her,
mm-hmm.
and he's yelling, "I need a doctor. Somebody get a doctor."
Okay. And you hear some footsteps come from behind the car, and you see a gentleman, a tall gentleman, lengthy gentleman, with a pistol in his hand, looking at you, right at you, and you recognize this person as Mr. Paul Blinker from the New York Gazette, and he looks at you and says, "George, we've got some things to discuss."
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.